Today's Issues continues on AFR with your host, Tim Wildman, President of the American Family Association.
Hey, welcome back, everybody, to Today's Issues on the American Family Radio Network for this Monday, April the 29th, 2024. Tim Wildman with Ed Battagliano, and now Steve Paisley-Jordahl joins us. Good morning, Steve.
Good morning, everybody.
So, Steve.
Yes, sir.
By the way, you are rocking the Paisley.
Yeah, my wife got me this shirt over the weekend.
I like it.
Keep your reputation alive.
Yeah, I like
honestly, I didn't know that they still made Paisley shirts, but... Well.
I don't know if it's not
nice,
a retro, but
nice color scheme.
Yeah, thank you.
By the way, before we start the news that you've brought, I was just checking headlines. This is from The Express. I don't know if that's a
Polar?
No, I don't know. Maybe a British website. But anyway, winning with bullets, Mexico enduring deadliest election ever as 30 politicians murdered. That's, I don't know how many politicians there are running, but that's a lot. 77 instances saw politicians threatened and 11 were kidnappings. So as bad as you think it is in this country, folks.
Just south of us,
they're killing each other.
So much for my light and breezy intro.
Yes, sorry. Go ahead. Let's. Now, I just saw that. And I just thought that's just stunning.
Don't the drug cartels have
a
lot of power
right.
in Mexico?
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right. It's, but setting that aside, Steve, what would you like to open with?
No. I was just gonna. I had a great weekend. I was invited to go to Atlanta to sing with the Gwinnett Symphony and Chorus. We did We did Mozart's Requiem.
No, you didn't.
We did.
The Requiem.
It's a funeral mass. It's Catholic.
Unbelievable.
Yeah. Well,
How come they never call me and ask me to go?
I don't know. I can drop a hint. This is what we sounded like. Let me give you about 12 seconds worth of this. This is us. This is the actual performance from Sunday afternoon. Cut 10.
That's amazing. Which one was you?
I was the one at the end that was.
That is really.
How many voices
beautiful.
In that choir?
It's about 50.
Okay. Now, were y'all all from the Columbus, Mississippi area?
No, this was in Atlanta, Georgia.
So you come from different parts of the country?
No, they're all in Atlanta, and I just was invited by the director, a friend of mine who knows.
Oh, okay. Would you sing normally with a choir?
I do. I sing in Columbus.
Right.
But I have a friend in Atlanta.
Oh, they invited you to join the choir
Yeah, they were looking for.
Did you know that song before you
I had sung it before a while back. I had to put a lot of work in to get it ready.
So Beethoven's what now?
It's Mozart.
Mozart.
And it's his Requiem.
I have that on my Spotify.
If you've ever seen the movie Amadeus?
I remember that.
That's like 20 years ago, right?
Yeah, it was. And there's a scene in Amadeus where Mozart is on his deathbed and he is telling Salieri he's transcribing it to him. You know, start with this note. Now do this. And that was part of the Requiem. He wrote it.
While he was on his deathbed?
Yeah. He died fairly young.
What have you done with your life, Ed?
I know, right?
Well, that is the kind of thing I think sometimes when you look at these people who are geniuses
right.
and you just go, wow.
I know, right?
I'm planning on watching right. game five of the of the hockey playoffs. These guys are changing the world with beautiful music.
Meanwhile, George Washington Carver discovers 173 things to do with peanut butter.
That's right, with peanuts. And I'm sitting here going,
and you're a zombie
please,
on your TV watching hockey.
Do not put coleslaw on my hot dog. That you put it on a chicken sandwich or maybe a burger, but not a hot dog.
Oh me. Yeah.
Steve, you got a wonderful voice.
Yeah.
And that Is that a choral? Is that the right way to say it?
Yes, it's a choral piece.
Choral. I mean, what do you call the group? Is it a choir or?
It's a chorus.
Chorus.
It's a symphony chorus. Yeah.
All right.
It was a Gwinnett County.
Is that a county? It's a town.
It's a county.
It's
Gwinnett, Greater Atlanta area.
Yes, it's an Atlanta suburb.
The area where you don't normally get carjacked.
No, it's out
of the carjacking zone.
It's a nice neighborhood. Yeah.
Yes.
Well, symphony. Anyway. Well played.
Thank you.
So how about those Bruins?
Game 5 tonight.
No, tomorrow night.
Tomorrow night. Sorry. All right, Steve, bring forth unto us.
Let me run this one by you, because this one took me a little bit by surprise. I ran it past our own John
Riley,
and he was a little skeptical of it. But Axios, which is a credible news organization,
right,
is reporting this. A new Israeli proposal for a possible hostage deal with Hamas includes a willingness to discuss the, quote, restoration of sustainable calm in Gaza after an initial release of hostages on humanitarian grounds, according to two Israeli officials who said this to Axios. They say it's the first time since October 7th attack on Israel by Hamas that Israeli leaders have suggested that they are open to discussing an end to the war in Gaza as part of a hostage deal. Now, we have heard relentlessly from Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu that they are not stopping this thing until Hamas is history. So I don't know. What do you make of this?
Well, I will say this, that in a demonically crafty way, Hamas made sure, as they, and this is all planned out, as they were planning the slaughter of innocent men, women, and children in Israel, they were obviously also planning to take lots of hostages in case they needed to preserve themselves by threatening to kill the hostages. And the pressure on Benjamin Netanyahu and those who want to, within the Israeli government, who want to prosecute this war until Hamas is completely and utterly defeated, the pressure on Netanyahu must be enormous to make a deal to save these hostages. I don't know whether this is a true story or what it is, but it sounds reasonable to me that Hamas is holding back those hostages in order to preserve their lives and their existence. That makes sense.
Yeah.
Because that's the craftiness, and again, I say demonic craftiness, using human beings in this way to try to keep yourself alive as a terrorist organization when the walls are closing in.
Yeah. Okay, you mean to give me my opinion?
I do. I have another question for you after you.
Okay, this is just my opinion
of
this matter you're asking about. Without knowledge of what the Israeli Defense Forces know, or Prime Minister Netanyahu knows, just looking at it from our one person here in the U.S. with some understanding of the region, and I have traveled there many, many times, I would say Israel's made their point. And their point being, and they wanted to do more than make their point. They wanted to tactically eradicate Hamas as a threatening organization with weapons in Israel. Now, I don't know whether they've completely done that or not, but the devastation that they've wrecked on Gaza.
Oh, wreaked. Havoc wreaked.
Yeah. Okay. Havoc wreaked on Gaza is a profound statement of might and power and dominance. Okay. So I would think the psychology here is, if you're Hamas, those Palestinian people, they're going to be dealing with this for decades, okay? I'm talking about how to recover from what's happened in Gaza, if they're going to stay there in Gaza.
The Palestinians.
Because they've become refugees, basically, in southern Gaza, down in Rafah. Is that what?
Rafah, yeah.
You got a lot of people packed in there. It's a bad situation from a humanitarian point of view, okay?
Right.
But if I were Israel, I would say, listen, we're going to relent right now. We could go further if we wanted to. We have the capability of going further if we wanted to. We will relent for now in the name of hopefully peace. But let me just tell you something. If Hamas starts firing rockets at us again or threatens us in any way, I say threatens, takes action against our people in any way that's threatening, we will be back, to borrow from Arnold Schwarzenegger, and we will completely and utterly annihilate Gaza, period. Okay? What that looks like, you don't have to describe it. You just say things are bad. You think we've delivered a pounding now? You wait until if this kind of thing happens again. So does that make sense?
Yeah. To your point, I see where you're. The part of the reason that makes sense is because
now you give us our hostages back,
right? Oh yeah, absolutely.
You give us our hostages back by Saturday, or what I've just described to you is all bets are off.
But part of the reason that I think that makes sense is because they can get rid of Hamas, the insurgents, and the weapons. They've trained their children to become Hamas when they grow up. So you're not getting
rid of the Palestinians.
The Palestinians have trained their children.
It's an ideology that's not going away.
It is not going away. What do you think? Here's a question I have. When they slaughtered all these Israelis on October 7th, do you think they anticipated what's going on American campuses and around the world with support? All of a sudden, people who could never have found Gaza on a map before now think it's the cause celeb, and they have all kinds of support now. I have a story here that they're going to allow Palestinian athletes in the Olympics at Paris. Did they
They're not even a
that?
Country.
Which one are you wanting me to respond to?
Do you think that they anticipated the support, the pushback against Israel?
No. I think not on American campuses. I think what Hamas was hoping for was a widespread Arab war against Israel.
Provoke a war.
And with the hopes that if that didn't happen and it was strung out, that they would get enough support from Europe to contain prevent Israel from successfully wiping Hamas out. I don't think anybody foresaw, I did not foresee this kind of thing happening on college campuses.
It angers me to no end to think, and don't mistake what I'm saying here, but on 9/11 was the best thing that ever happened to Arab terrorists, and the October 7th was the best thing that ever happened to Hamas. No one knew. I mean, no one paid attention before this. They slaughter a ton of Israeli citizens, and all of a sudden they're a cause celeb. What is wrong with this world?
Yeah.
Well, I know the answer to that.
But. Well, I'll tell you what they're going to tell you. I don't agree with it. They're going to tell you that Israel has made life miserable for the Arabs in Palestine, in Gaza, and it was only a matter of time before that powder keg exploded, and it exploded on October 7th. And hate that it happened. They might even, their supporters may not even say hate that it happened. They would tell you justice was served when these Israelis were murdered, because that's the feeling that those in Gaza have been feeling for a long time. I'm just going to tell you what they'll say.
Yeah. I've been seeing interviews with college students who, when asked directly, what are you protesting?
They don't know.
Israel, but they have no idea about the geopolitical sense. It is... The oppressors against the oppressed,
DEI,
and that's all you need to know, they need to know in order to pick a side.
Critical race theory.
Yeah.
It's critical race theory.
Intersectionality, et cetera.
Yeah.
What do you think about this? So the Olympic International Olympic Committee, Thomas Bach, has said he expects to invite 6 to 8 Palestinians to compete in the Olympics in Paris, regardless of whether they have qualified or not. Now, Palestinian athletes have taken part in the Olympics since 1996, but they've always had to qualify in some sort. But now they're welcome.
You got to have a country to represent. Are they representing Israel?
They fly their own flag, the Palestinian flag.
So is there precedent for the Olympic Committee accepting people from non-countries?
Here's what the precedent is. People are pointing out now, you're not allowing Russia to compete because they invaded
Ukraine.
So they have some qualifications. They asked Thomas Bach, the IOC chair, this. He dismissed suggestions that the IOC has treated Russia differently over its invasion of Ukraine compared with Israel and the war in Gaza. The Russia was suspended from international sports after its invasion of Ukraine. In order to take part in the Paris Games, they are required to have an athlete is required to have never publicly supported the war against Ukraine and not be employed by the military or security services. So why you that?
Let me ask you this. Do you think, I'm kind of torn on this question of whether or not the Olympic Committee should be deciding which countries can and cannot send send athletes based on whatever the Olympic Committee's view of the correct politics of the war our world is.
It's their games.
Huh?
It's their games.
That's a private organization, right?
The Olympics?
The International Olympic Committee.
An NGO or a, yeah. It's not a government entity.
Listen, in terms of, my opinion is what we see going on around the world is we see almost like another Cold War. Used to be the free West and Western ideals against the Soviet Union and its satellite nations and its ideology. And now that has kind of boiled down to the free West and democratic or Republican ideals and globalism. And it's across national borders. That's why I think you pointed out this morning in our story meeting, you showed us a sign.
Yeah.
Where was that? That was supporting Donald Trump.
That was
from, was it Bulgaria or, anyway, it was one of the Eastern European countries that have come out of communism because of the collapse of the Soviet Union. And why would you see support for Donald Trump in Eastern Europe? Well, it's because you have people in Poland, people in Hungary who see the globalists in the United Nations. They see the globalists in the United States, in the United Kingdom, Western Europe, and the ideology of globalism is a threat to freedom-loving people everywhere, and it's almost like the world is dividing into those two sides, and it runs across national boundaries. And so you have the International Olympic Committee, who appears to be joining. You have corporations joining in this big divide.
Right.
It's really pretty astonishing.
I looked up Iran, Olympics 2024. They're in the Olympics.
Yeah.
So Marsha Blackburn, senator from Tennessee, has lobbied the Olympic Committee to deny Iran participation. I don't think she's been successful. Okay, so to my question, Iran just sent a bunch of missiles and drones into Israel to try to murder people, innocent civilians. Oh, should we be for banning them?
North Korea, okay, is scheduled to compete at the 2024 Summer Olympics in Paris.
So why should Russia be banned?
Technically, I think the Olympics don't want somebody who is in a declared war. Iran hasn't declared war, neither is North Korea. The DNA of the Olympics, back in the Greek days, they say that they declared a truce for whatever wars they were in to compete in the games. So they competed as, you know, friendly competition, and then they went back to war after the games were over. I think now the IOC is more like the UN.
But Israel and the Palestinians are in a war.
Yes.
So is Israel banned?
No, I don't know. Israel's not banned.
Yeah. Well,
I
understand it.
Thomas Bach just says, oh, no, Israel and the Palestinian war is completely different.
Right.
So I don't know.
How?
He doesn't.
I would say. Everybody's going to say that about every war.
Right.
Next story, Steve.
All right. So President Biden, they made a change at the White House.
Really?
Yes. You know, so whenever President Biden is going to go somewhere.
Does he know this?
He might not. Actually,
he may have technically authorized it, but he doesn't know about it.
It was his idea. So whenever you see him taking off, you know, the process is he walks from the White House to the helicopter, which is called Marine One. Marine One flies to Joint Base Andrews, where he gets on Air Force One and then flies wherever he's going. Well, the stroll out to Marine One, if you ever seen Biden walking alone, it's a strange gait. it's hard to figure out what's wrong with it.
But I'll tell you what it is. I'm just going to be bluntly honest about this, and I mean no disrespect because I'll probably be there one day. It's the old man shuffle. That's what Biden's got going on.
It seems stiff.
I'm not an orthopedic doctor or physical therapist, but I'm guessing when you start to shuffle like that, it's meant to protect you from falling.
Yes. Yeah.
Your body is making this adjustment to make it a shorter stride than a normal walk so that you can balance yourself.
Well,
I'm guessing that was it. That's it.
The White House thinks that him walking by himself is drawing attention to his halting and stiff gait, as Axios puts it. So they have decided now whenever he walks out to the Marine One, he's going to be surrounded by aides or political allies or whatever. They're going to shield him from the press. Like, that's going to be transparent. No one was ever going to figure that one out, right?
So they don't want voters to be reminded every time the president exits the helicopter or Air Force One that this guy is old and incompetent for the job. So they want to try to shield him from that. Listen, this gait you're talking about, that shuffle, and I'm not trying to make a joke here. When my kids were little and there were Legos around, in the middle of the night, I did that shuffle going to the refrigerator. Right.
The Lego shuffle?
The Lego shuffle. I did not pick my feet up and put them down. Right. I slid my feet to keep from stepping
on
something.
If you hit the wrong logo, it sets off pain.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah, yeah. Big time.
So,
yes.
I understand that. That makes sense that the body.
And a doggone it.
Oh,
yeah.
If,
or worse.
If you're lucky. That's all I'll say. Let's move on.
All right. Okay. Finally, the U.S. Mint has decided, you know, they've done these quarters where.
The U.S. what?
Mint.
Oh, M-I-N-T.
M-I-N-T, that puts the coins, that puts out the coins.
Right.
They've had series of quarters with states and public parks. Well, they're doing dollar coins.
Okay.
And they're doing the states. And so California's turn is up. And Gavin Newsom, the governor there, has decided he wants to ask Californians their idea. What should we commemorate about our state? Should it be Silicon Valley, the tech? Should it be Hollywood?
Bigfoot?
should it be the beautiful, Sierra Nevadas? What should we do? Well, what he's getting is, how about homeless encampments and poop on the streets of San Francisco?
Oh, man, that's disgusting.
Hey, can I that's funny. You're going to get that kind of thing in any state. But you mentioned the Mint. I just want to can I put my conspiracy hat on here for a second?
Why not?
We got a little bit of time, and then I'll pitch it back to Steve because you usually have something that, good to
we
close.
We got about a minute to go, so you go.
That's my something. So
oh, that's
go
your
ahead,
something.
Close
okay.
it out.
All right. So my wife and I the other day, we got to go into Tupelo. I took the day off on Thursday. By the way, I'll probably take this Thursday off too. I'm just letting you know.
Okay.
Because I got to get my mulch out, folks. I got to get yard work done. Okay. So we had to go do some things. So we stopped by a restaurant. I won't say what it is here, but it's nearby. And on the door it says we are a cashless business. And so I walked in and I happened to have some cash on me for a change. I said, "You guys don't take cash?" "No." And I'm just telling you, I don't like businesses going cashless because it makes me think next step is
revelation. Here we come.
Yeah, it is the government eliminating cash completely, cashless society, and then they've got you.
Yeah.
All right. So
That's
what I just wanted to say.
So
I didn't
think
like
this
that.
Maybe watch and see if this becomes a trend.
Yeah. The business door on the door. We don't take cash.
Right. Wow. All right, Steve. Thank you.
My pleasure.
Thanks to Ed, Fred, Brent Creeley, our producer. That's all. That's all I have to thank today.
We'll see you tomorrow. Thank you, our listeners.
See you tomorrow.